daily deep dive into everything Utah Jazz.
It's time!
All season long and even in the off season, it's Jazz Daily with JJ and Alex on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna dunk it!
JJ and Alex rolls on into the 5 o'clock hour. It is time for our Jazz Daily. Brought to you as always by G2G Bars with all natural ingredients, no preservatives, and plenty of protein. G2G Bars are perfect for anyone who needs a tasty and nutritious boost. The Utah Jazz season is winding down. Not many games left. In fact, 4 left on the schedule, 2 home, 2 road. It begins tonight against the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets, and that is where we're going to start the 5 o'clock hour on the cut with our guest, Tim Lacombe.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's a Jazz game day, and we get to talk to our good friend, the coach, Tim Lacombe, who is brought to you by Spherion Staffing. You have better things to do than scramble to find your next great hire, so let Spherion Staffing do it for you. Visit them online at spherion.com/Utah. Coach, welcome in.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you today?
We're just hanging out. We're trying to we enjoyed the college game the last weekend, and now we're going to dip back into the NBA. Hoops all the time. It's exactly how we like it. So let's dig into today. Let's start with the Jazz. And, you know, we know what the current situation with the Jazz, but the fun thing is they're playing the defending champs in their arena, and fans get to see the best team in basketball tonight face off against this young Jazz team. What are you looking for tonight?
Well, you know, this has been a little bit of a stretch for the Jazz the last 20, and I think when the trade deadline came and some decisions were made, you know, there was obviously a direction that the, you know, the franchise was going to go, and this year kind of got made more of a development year at that point. And I think, you know, I think if you look at what the three rookies have been able to do, I think it's been really great. I think there's been growth in veteran guys like Colin Sexton has really impressed me this year with his ability to kind of just change and transform his game more efficiently. John Collins, I think, has been a bright spot. And then, you know, Lowry's been out for so long. I was just down in the arena watching guys shoot, and they did a little video montage, and I was like, oh, yeah, Lowry is on this team. I forgot. It's been so long, you know. So I think some good things have transpired, and the Jazz have also kind of used the opportunity to, you know, perhaps in the last 20 games improve their pick. And so, yeah, it's getting kind of into a full – I guess full throw into the off season after this. But I think tonight what we look for is, you know, I think Denver as a team is very serious minded. It was just down there at 4 o'clock. They had their G-League guys out shooting and playing. And Michael Malone was out there watching them at 4 o'clock, just hanging out. You know, so I think it's a pretty serious outfit. So I think they're chomping at the bit to get back to the playoffs to defend their championship. They've got some guys banged up, but I think we'll see just about everybody for them, minus I heard Aaron Gordon, but should be a fun game, and like you said, just an opportunity for this young Jazz team to try to get on the right side of the ledger.
Coach, when you bring up the Nuggets, do you feel like they're the favorite right now in your mind to come out of the West?
Yes, without a doubt. Is that Mitch Harper?
Yes, that is I.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Good to talk with you.
You do such a good job, man. I love following your stuff this season, and they're lucky to have you.
Thanks,
covering them. It's great. I think the Nuggets are definitely the team to beat in the West, and then you know the East is such a. I won't be surprised if I know the Celtics are amazing. But it, you know, Miami kind of rises from the dead again. And, is their way, but to me, it's always about the defending champion, particularly when you still have, arguably the best player in the game in Jokic, and then a very, very tested around them. So I think it's theirs to lose.
Coach, it would be really fascinating to see the Suns, Lakers, and Warriors in an NBA play-in game situation. Can you imagine that scenario? Because it's a very real possibility, and I know things are close. I mean, the Pelicans and Kings are in the mix as well in that mess, but can you imagine a Lakers-Warriors 9-10 game, winner-take-all, one game to stay alive?
I would use that old clip from Warriors, you know, playing the bubbles together,
yes.
Like Steph doing this week. Come out and play. I mean, that would be a definite amazing way to kick off what I think, honestly, particularly in the West, will be just a bigger seat playoff run this year. I think there's so many teams that have grown so much, and they've got young teams, and you know you've got veteran teams that are galvanized. And the season ramps up to that full crescendo during the playoffs, so we'll see every team at their best. And even though the Jazz aren't going to be involved, and I've been 82 games sitting in the same chair I'm sitting in right now, getting ready for another one, I'll be glued to the TV.
You brought up that this year, you know, has now been a developmental year because after the trade deadline and the development of Keontae George has been something we've all been following. What do you feel? Do you feel like he's developed maybe into possibly an all-rookie at season's end when this thing's said and done at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think he will be. I mean, that stretch that he had, you know, there for a while, he was so hot, you know, for about 5 weeks. And I honestly believe that what we're seeing now, particularly from Keontae, his minutes have gone from 20, 25 minutes into the 30s. And, you know, you've taken all of his insulation away. You know, they're not necessarily worried about Lowry. I mean, there's three rookies on the floor that have got to earn their stripes. And then, you know, he's playing with guys that have been journeymen in this league. So, you know, he's kind of getting the best shot from every team. And I think it's been good for him because I think he sees just how much his game has to expand and grow. But excited about the possibilities. And just, you know, to me, and I've said this a few times, I think it's for every player, but I can't say, you know, as much as any. I think it's about consistency. I think it's about him finding, you know, a comfort level and then some consistency, because that's what the great players do. You watch Jamal Murray tonight. He's just a guy that goes out there and helps his team win. You know, you can pretty much count on him. You know, we used to have Tyler Hawes. I used to joke with Tyler Hawes before games, like, hey, is your battery in? Because if Ty's battery was in and he was in the game, he was going to get you 20. And it's just how it was. So I think there's some consistency stuff with Keontae, but again, that's a lot of young players. I think he's definitely going to make that all-rookie team, though.
Again, with the development theme, it has provided opportunities for young players to go out and show something, and the latest player to do that was Johnny Juzang. Getting an opportunity and making the most of it. He's had to be patient, a lot of time in the G League, but 27 points against Steph Curry and the Warriors, and to be able to shoot 7 of 8 from 3 while doing it at this league, that's got to get the attention of people around the league. What did he do for himself with that opportunity the other night? What did he prove?
You know, I think with him, it definitely transpires or transcends just one night. I think Johnny's had some really good nights in the G League, and I think the biggest thing is, like I'm talking about, he's starting to, you know, you put him in a game, you kind of start to know that you're going to get a pretty consistent effort. He's worked on his shot so much. I try to get here on most game days, see everybody shoot until about 5:30 or 5:45 when I come upstairs. And I just watched him, and he's worked on it. His release, you know, is so much quicker. His rotation on his ball is better. Above all else, he's shot so many that he's confident in stroke. And there is really no substitute for that. If you feel good about it, if you feel good about when you let it go, 9 times out of 10, that thing's going to go in. So the most important thing is he's feeling good. You ask what it does. I mean, what it does is, you know, people take note of that. Pardon the bad pun. I didn't mean to throw that in. Because this league is about space, and, you know, not to cross optics, but you saw last night how important the 3-point shot is. And if you can't a team like Purdue, they could not score the basketball outside of three-point land because, you know, Connecticut just completely took them out of it. But you see how important that shot is. It's really important in the NBA. I watch it every night. And it's amazing how proficient guys are at it. So if he could become one of those guys, and he's still, that's what's really great is, you know, Johnny's a guy that's got, you know, a couple more games here to play, and he's chomping at the bit to get those minutes. And so, yeah, let's look to see if he can kind of string it together. I loved him in college, you know, with Hawkins and that group, and I've really enjoyed watching him, both the Stars and the Cavs.
Regular season ends after Sunday. I'm curious, Coach, like, what do you feel Jazz fans should be excited about with this franchise coming out of the season, beyond, you know, the long list of assets? Like, what about this team moving forward, or that's maybe on the court, that can get fans feeling good about the future heading into the offseason after this week?
Yeah, it's been tough. I mean, I think this is, you know, it's been difficult, but I believe sometimes the best things happen after difficulty, you know, particularly in my life, figured adversity is not all bad. You can learn some things from it. But when the Jazz made the move with Gobert and Mitchell, I think this is the road everybody knew we'd be on. I think the Jazz have done a heck of a job of insulating, you know, us from like what the last 20 games were like, because that's been really hard. But beyond that, I think what you see is, you know, if they got a guy who makes the all-rookie team and got a ton of opportunity this year, next year will be, you know, like going back to school when you've got it all figured out as a kindergartner, you know, first grade, man, you roll back in there and you own the joint. Yeah, there's some similarity to that. You know, there's not any apprehension. Guys come into the season next year knowing exactly what to expect. And so they got to train in the off season for that. But I think if you look at the rookies that the Jazz have taken, if you look at the free agent moves and the trades, you know, the players that have been brought in, the talent level is definitely spread out along the roster. You know, it's to be pretty heavy at the top. I think you've got guys, we just talked about Johnny Juzang, you know, put on a show from three the other night. And so I think you get an opportunity this year to look at a lot of guys, and I think that helps decision-making going forward. And then you have to mention, you know, what they have.
Yeah,
I think the future is so bright. But beyond that, they've got an ownership group that they're not here to, you know, be profitable every year. You know, they already dipped into the tax in year one. This is a group that above all else wants to win. And, you know, they've got a group in Zanuck and Ainge that so well respected around the league and no players that I think regardless of how tough the season's been, I think there have been some bright spots that can perhaps springboard a bunch of things next year.
I want to transition now into the college game and what a month it was for college basketball, both men and women. Did you ever think you'd see the day that the women's national championship game would have 4 million more viewers than the men's national championship game?
You know what? There's no way I ever thought that would happen, and I'm so glad it did. Because I kind of got sucked into it in the last couple of years. I have some buddies down at BYU in the women's game, Kamard and John Wardenberg, their assistants down there. And so, you know, I just kind of started to watch a little bit more and become more familiar. And just along the way, you know, Jalen Clark and this awesome group, Angel Reese, you know, this last year, Juju Watkins. So I think more than anything, instead of just kind of a faceless, you know, I think America's taking notice. And it was a great ball. It was intriguing. There were a lot of interesting personalities. And my hope is that it can keep flying because that was really cool. It was magical, actually. You know, a number of years I've gone to wherever, you know, name the college, and you go and see, you know, a women's game or your games maybe after a women's game. And there's just more of a sparse crowd. So I just think it's awesome, you know, because it's, everybody should have an opportunity to perform, and when it's really good, people show up and enjoy it.
UConn, what a story. We talked about the significance of the historical significance early in the show, and I don't think people understand it's only the third time in 50 years that a program has won back-to-back national championships, and they've kind of done it quietly, but yet dominantly. I mean, they are absolutely. It wasn't even. They won, coach, but they dominated. It wasn't even close.
Oh yeah, it was like you said. What was 13 points? And you know, I kind of looked at that at the start of this run because I wanted to look to see what they did last year in comparison. This year was a tough run. I mean, they played a bunch of good teams, and they got challenged really well by Alabama, who I thought was a really well coached team. But at the end of the day, to me, it was like heads and shoulders that you watch everybody play, and UConn was the best team, and you know, they didn't necessarily have every guy on their team's not the best at his position, but the way they plugged that thing together, and what Hurley said in the postgame last night really rang true to me. He said, we recruit NBA players. So obviously they're going after guys who are going to play or want to play in the NBA and have that talent. But the differentiator is he's like, you know, we make it known. This is not going to be about you. And I'm really glad at some point somebody put their foot down. Because for so many years, you know, these players have come in and, you know, I think it's an equal world now. I think transfers are such that they can move if they're not happy. But at the same time, you know, I think I still believe that teams that can stick together, get old together, you know, they're going to have the best chance. And that's why this BYU, you know, BYU is really intriguing because I think they can do that most times. You know, they're going to have a group of guys that just inherently are going to be older. You know, I think this last year was really important from a brand identity standpoint. But yeah, I mean, back to UConn, amazing, amazing run. And I just got all the respect in the world for that coaching staff. Cause I know how hard it is to get everybody on the same page. That is what coaching is. Coaching isn't drawn up X's and O's, you know, I mean, it is to a certain point, but really coaching is management. You know, it's keeping a real pulse on everything. It's what Dave Rose was, as good as anybody. He's almost clairvoyant at it. But if you can manage people and you can get them all on the same bus, man, you can do some powerful things. And I think UConn proved that.
You know, kind of following up, Tim, on the BYU, you know, commentary with what are the challenges of coaching in a place like BYU, though? Because, you know, are the same challenges, you think, still applying today in the NIL and transfer portal era that you experienced when you were with Coach Rose?
You know, I don't know enough about it, Mitch. I think if I were to walk into the landscape nowadays, it'd be like somebody would have to, you know, I'd have to orient myself for the first time because things have changed so much. But I do think that, you know, BYU is certainly more difficult in a lot of regards just in terms of management because of the requirements. You know, academically, it's a really strong school. I mean, you think you're going to take just a religion class? Oh, buddy, be ready because those religion classes will get you.
Yeah.
It's a tough school. And then obviously all of the, you know, all that comes with it, it's church sponsored and there's, you know, things that are required. It seems to me that they've loosened from when I was there because, you know, but I don't know that. So I guess that'd be a question you'd have to ask somebody on the inside, but to me, it looks, you know, if you're saying, is it harder to get somebody in school at, say, Kentucky or BYU? Yeah, a lot easier to Kentucky.
Yeah.
Speaking of, last one for you, Tim. I'm sure you've heard that Mark Pope's obviously a candidate for the Kentucky job. It's your reaction to that, which is not really a surprise, but where would BYU go if that day came and they have to make a hire? Who's out there that we should keep an eye on?
Man, the pool is so small. You know, I don't want to like throw a bunch of names out and offend people, but I mean, I think if you just look around at, you know, who's in these positions across the country, I think that's, you know, you can get a group of 5, 6, 7 of guys, and I think you hire from that. There could be an outlier. I remember Steve Cleveland, you know, when they hired him, which was such an amazing hire after the incredible job that Roger Reed did. You know, Roger Reed's legacy at the end was unfortunately kind of maligned by the way things went down, but man, that guy could coach, and he had some great years there, won a lot of league titles, put some really good players on the all-conference team. And Steve came in, you know, and he was a little bit out of the blue. I know not a lot of people knew about him, but talk about the perfect guy at the perfect time, you know, to come in. And then obviously he hired Coach. Coach was here, and, you know, we brought Mark in. I am not surprised in the least, you know, that Mark's involved, because, I mean, he's just about excellence. He really wants to, you know, to try to do this thing at the highest level. He wants to win a national championship. And, you know, he makes no bones about that stuff. And the part of it, a lot of people can say it, but the dude's driven, you know, which is what I love about him. So we'll see how this all plays out. I wouldn't be surprised with anything anymore. I mean, college basketball, when they said Calipari was leaving Kentucky for Arkansas, I thought, I looked to see actually if it was an April Fool's joke. And it was not. Yeah. It was April 9th. It was an April 9th fact.
Yeah, it's 2024. Anything can happen in sports. Yep. I think we've learned that lesson, Coach. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
There is one guy that I think would know a lot about the program. I don't know about his coaching acumen, but one Mitch Harper.
Okay.
You know, maybe throw that whistle around his neck. He's Mitch, you got trips anyway.
You got an agent, Mitch?
I no agent. I'm like Calipari.
You got to get an agent.
No agent.
Hey, just submit it through your stake president.
There you go.
I'll get the ecclesiastical endorsement. I'm good to go.
That's how you increase that pool. Just send it out to all stake presidents across the country.
I'm just going to tell you right now, that's why you won't see my name. but that's for another show.
He's the coach, Tim Lacombe.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks so much. 7 o'clock tip-off tonight, Jazz Nuggets. Hear him and Jake Scott on the pregame show. And Tim, just some extra kudos to you. You and Jake have been awesome this year. Yes. In a difficult season. Each and every game, you guys bring it. I listen to your pregame show every night when I drive home after the show. It's been great. Thanks so much for all the coverage you gave this year and the job you guys did each and every night in difficult circumstances.
Well, it means the world coming from a pro like you, brother, so thank you.
You got it. That's Tim Lacombe, his weekly visit here on JJ and Alex, 97.5. The KSL Sports Zone. JJ and Alex is brought to you by Trajan Wealth. Call Trajan Wealth today. Your local financial fiduciary, 801-899-7600, or visit their website at TrajanWealth.com. The NFL Blitz is next. The NFL never sleeps. Never on JJ and Alex, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.